back, kings, queens, everything in between. It's another episode of the Peasant Party Podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Warren. It's Wednesday, and to my right is everyone's favorite person.
Hello, I'm Annabelle, and I'm drinking
two X's, and I like ranch water.
Gorge.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, and that's just fine.
Your hair looks good.
Thank you. Fake. It was very expensive.
I feel like it looked like you blended it really well.
Thank you so much. Still a little bit of blending to be done, but yeah, I got the 24 inches. I'm feeling gorge. Yeah. And then I think I might have mentioned this on the last pod, but I got Sculptra.
Oh, yeah, you said so.
Which is crazy. It's just like collagen injections.
Do you feel good?
Yeah, I love it. I've been doing, you know, lately, like I've really been doing, because I know that's like injections. It sounds like it's getting work done, but it's like collagen injections. Yeah. So to me, I'm like, oh, it's like healthier or like less unhealthy than just getting filler. But I've been really like heavy on the like just skincare, like facials and stuff. Halo laser, which burns the whole top layer of your skin all the way off.
Scared about that. That was scary. I do get a little bit of Botox.
Yeah. I'm a Botox girly, so
I like it. I've always had like forehead, like if I go back and find like pictures of me as a kid, like I've got crazy forehead lines. Like
so you're always staring into the sun.
Yeah, like I was. So it wasn't like, you know, obviously like aging can be part of that, but it's also just genetics. Like
I remember it is.
People
go,
oh, crinkle, haha.
100%. Yeah, yeah. No. I totally look at pictures of me from like high school, and I'm like, whoa, like totally was genetic.
Yeah, it definitely is. So like that was something I was insecure about like when I was young. It just, I don't know, it feels better. Like I feel like I can wear less makeup and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm terrified. I couldn't do lip. I've never felt like anything weird about thin lips.
Hurts. Like, oh my God, it hurts so bad. If you don't like, it hurts so bad. Like so bad. Yeah. It's very painful. Most beauty procedures are painful. Botox is painful.
Yeah.
Like a little bit, you know?
Yeah, like at the crow's feet, yes.
Yeah. Sculptra, they put it like in the side of your face, but she put one big injection in my temple. Like in my temple, like big, huge, and I could feel it against my like brain. And then it was super sensitive for like a week. I was super scared.
Wild.
So now I have I'm being mind controlled. She put a chip in there or something.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm kidding.
I'd love to hear that. What else is new with you?
What day is today? 22?
Yeah.
Did I come to... I believe I landed in Austin either the 21st or the 22nd.
3 years.
Of 2022.
Woo.
Right? I think so. Yeah, 2022. So I've been here for 3 years. Afesh. That's so crazy.
It flies by. I feel like...
It does. It does, and it crawls. Like, I remember, like, that first year, I think moving anywhere. Anywhere. I had you here. Like, there are plenty of people that move to a new city and don't know anyone.
Yeah.
I had you. I had already established a job I was going to be working at. I came with a boyfriend. We broke up like a month later. So that sucked. But like, yeah, that first year, even having you and some people that I knew, it was still so fucking hard. So hard, dude. And painful. There were plenty of times where I was like, I made the wrong choice.
Oh, yeah. Like, because there were times, like, I say it flew by, but there was definitely times where it was like, this is fantastic. And there were lows. Like, I was here, like, when COVID, like, that was.
COVID, totally.
Like, I would rather have been here than in California, but.
True. And of course, I look back now and I'm like, oh, my life in California was also very, like, it was unhappy, ultimately. Mm-hmm. I was reaching my dream, but I just was, like, not happy there. And moving here, I was like, oh, you know, and everybody told me, don't, you shouldn't move, everything you need is right here. California Venture is the greatest place I've ever lived. Like, all old people are like, you're gonna regret it.
Yes.
And of course, and I was just unhappy there, and of course I left. And like, things move so much faster here. I've had so many vastly more like experiences, just because I'm meeting more people at a faster pace. I'm learning so much faster. Honestly, I think that like living in a city like just makes you learn faster, makes you tolerant much more quickly, makes you understand other people much more quickly, makes you feel like more active and engaged in your community. I mean, I'm speaking from only a place of experience. You know, I know that like smaller towns, like they do have a really strong sense of community. But there's something about living in a city where it just feels like, holy shit, like my life before this, like I just wasn't living at this pace. I didn't know that I was capable of all of these cool things that I am capable of.
Oh, totally. And what's crazy is I think we're going to actually come, this, our discussion today is going to come back around to everything you're talking about quite a bit.
Cool.
We're talking about Passport Bros today. We got a really good question. We are going to have a fun question to kick things off. Mm-hmm.
Recently started seeing a guy who has a son. I've dated plenty of guys with kids before, so that's not the issue. It's what he named his kid. Often. Spelled and pronounced exactly like the word that's synonymous with frequently. It's not any sort of cultural name and doesn't mean something different in another language and doesn't appear in any sort of baby name database whatsoever. Anyway, I haven't had it in me to ask the origin of his son's name because I'm almost positive whatever his answer, I'll bust out laughing. This is more of a rant than a question. Sorry, but I guess, is this an ick? They name their kid something super weird. Okay. I'm going to say something.
Yes.
I have a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Should I be dropping? Well, whatever. Named the baby Early. And I love the name Early. Mm-hmm. I think it is so freaking cute and interesting.
Like spelled Early?
Spelled though? Early, yeah. E-A-R-L-Y. Kind of like Earl, but like Early.
Yeah, I do, yeah. Like
I think Early is name. Cute.
Earl, like there is a, like I could see that. Like, because there's, it's kind of, there's some words that like aren't names where you're like,
yeah,
that works as a name. Like I knew of someone named Seven. I'm like, it was like some like skate.
I love that. Like,
that's, there's something that
I
works
love
with
the
that.
Name Seven. That's so sick. That's so funny.
There's some where it's like, huh, but it works. I don't know how I feel about Often.
You know what? Often's a little weird.
Yeah. Like, I've met an Afton, like A-F-T-O-N.
Yeah, sure, sure.
But, like, I don't know.
Often.
I actually also tried to look this up, and this listener is correct that this is, it's not in baby name things. When I tried to look up the name, like, people named Often, it didn't come up. It was just people oftenly named certain things is what kept coming up on Google. I don't know if there's many people named Often.
You know it's a cool name?
What?
Sometimes.
So, like,
sometimes is way cooler than often.
Yeah. It was funny because when Justine was a guest recently, and it was the question was basically like, what does sometimes mean on a dating app? Because like the choices are often.
Sometimes.
Like, the choices are often.
When I see.
Yes, no, or sometimes. When I see, like, what's the bar for sometimes and frequently? Like,
yeah. When I see sometimes on a dating app bio, mm-hmm. I read it like this. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
I don't know. Sometimes. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's what that sounds like in my head.
Yeah. Like a person was like, if I've tried something once and never did it again, the answer can't be no, but it's also not like yes. So do I have to say sometimes?
Right.
If I did a drug once, it's like, oh my God, this person was really getting into it. But
yeah.
I mean, they make a fair point though. Like, what's the bar for sometimes? Versus, like, you know what no is. You know what, like, and then everyone has a different definition of frequently. Like, a lot of people, some people's, like, I don't know, some people's, you know, what their version of sometimes is someone else's frequently. I don't know.
But. I have to say, I think the name often, like, it kind of entirely depends on the child's last name.
Yes.
Do they have a cool last name?
Mm-hmm. You also have to have, like, a good, I guess, explanation for it. Like, I don't know, and this controversial person right now, just, you know, I don't know, but like there's like an episode of the Joe Rogan podcast where like mm-hmm. Elon Musk, he's like, can you explain like your kid's name that's like X something,
whatever. And did he?
And like, how do you pronounce it? And he like is saying it like with a straight face and Joe Rogan's just like busting out laughing. He's like, why the fuck did you name your, like, why? And he's just like sitting there, like it's as though it just dawned on him that this was a stupid fucking idea as far as like naming your kid. Just because he's probably got a bunch of yes men around him, like the
totally. Yeah. However, and I am no Elon Musk apologist, I do love when people are a little quirky. Now, imposing it on your child, that might be like a different level of.
Yeah, do it to yourself.
Do it to yourself.
Go down to the name change office and do your own
name. Yeah, do your own name. Exactly. I don't like, I'm so. I don't know. I think I'm tolerant in a way of like. When I see a freak or just somebody who stands outside of the binary in any way, you know, and you see a lot of them in Austin. There are a lot of like just regular, you know, people I see constantly in Austin. and they're like dressed real freaky. You don't know what gender they are. You have you couldn't even guess what decade they were born. They look like a total freak. Even sometimes people that, you know, they like have like overdone like boobs and lips and tattoos on their face and whatever. Mm-hmm. I honestly love that. I'm so grateful for that. And I mm-hmm. think that like those types of people have always been around. And the fact that we like I almost really don't like somebody that gets weirded out too easily.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Someone that's like if you say something like a little crazy and they're like, oh my God, okay, weird. Like that shit is straight up triggering to me.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've just embraced like the freak show.
So let's name our kids Often.
Often. Sometimes.
I don't know. I would probably be like, what the? Like, I got like, I would also bust up laughing mm-hmm. unless there was something I wasn't aware of where like some sort of cultural thing somewhere that I missed.
What about like, I love like the name Blue. I think the name Blue is super cute.
I like Blue as a middle name. Random.
Okay,
like,
I met that's some cute.
Blue as
that's
middle cute. Names.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, Blue could work. Like I'm yeah, there's like certain
yeah.
non-traditional names where like, oh, this like
I works. Think I would do a non-traditional name if I ever had a kid, which I won't. But like if, you know, if I was choosing, I think I probably would do something like real colorful. If it was a girl.
Mm.
For a boy, it's Benjamin. That's it. That's Benjamin is the name.
Mm.
For a girl, it'd be creative. You have fun with it.
Yeah. I would do like more so to make sure that like a kid has a life of normalcy, like so that they have room to like screw up. Like I would give a normal name because of how much people Google people nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, if you
okay,
Google
see.
Our father's name, David Warren, like
yeah.
there's so many things that are going to come up. Like, you know, you're trying to find a job. Like you're not like the first Google result isn't going to show up or like show every single thing that's you, your Facebook, or whatever.
See, I like that somebody can look me up and I come right up, baby. I'm number one.
You like it now for yourself, like for your kid. Like, because if you're trying to like make a name for yourself as something, all you have to do is come up with a stage name alias to go by that no one else is using.
Okay.
But like, if you have a kid that's a private person, like, I don't know, I was not a perfect kid. Like, it gives your kid room to like screw up a little bit without having it follow them forever or just be tied to them. Like they can kind of, I don't know.
See, I think in terms of creativity, like, yeah, they say like, oh yeah, you know, bullying and stuff and whatever, and it can, you know, cause things, people are gonna like make fun of your name or whatever, and I get that. But I think, well, first of all, I think that we live in kind of a different world as far as bullying goes now than we used to. I think
names are the least of
bullies worries. Yeah. I think
I don't know. I'm not a bully, I don't think.
I mean, I think for the most part, people like it's gotten through to the kids that like making fun of somebody for something they can't change like doesn't really make any sense and it makes you look bad.
Yeah.
This is speculation. I'm like, you know, as we were growing up, I was in high school in what 2009 to like 2013. You could feel bullying, the course of bullying change.
Yeah.
Like the trajectory of it has totally changed. When I was in high school, like it was starting to become, and of course we were in California, but it was starting to become much more normalized for kids in same-sex relationships to just like be out and be like whatever about it. And you don't bully them for it.
No. I think bullying looks different. Like I think it still exists, but it's not.
It looks different.
It's not the like movie style. That's why I'm always say that like movies are written by, you can tell they're written by nerds because it's like they write this like tropey version of like the popular kids who are like, we're so cool, blah, blah, blah. And it's like people that were cool in high school, like they didn't see the world like that, but to like a weird nerd, like
totally.
A lot of times, like I don't love, God, what's her face? Like the one director, but it was like the movie Booksmart where it was like, the two kind of nerdy girls.
It was Bo Burnham, right? Or no.
Greta, the one who did the Barbie movie, Gerwig. Yeah, Gretel Gerwig.
Yeah, Greta Van Fleet.
I don't like. I just think sometimes she's It's like just be more subtle.
She did Little Women and stuff, right?
And yeah, sometimes it's like you'd be so much more powerful if you were more subtle. And she just smacks people in the face with messages, but
with feminism, and yet. Who else is doing it like her, you know? Sometimes I mean, you gotta have, like, I think People loved the Barbie movie. Women loved the Barbie movie. And like, if it was made to be more subtle, like, I don't know if it would. I personally haven't seen the Barbie movie because I don't like commercialism. I don't like that shit. But I think that like it, because of like how much they like, she like pressed on the message in all of her films.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kind of.
I guess where I was going with that, though, is just the kind of thing that came around at the end of the movie was like the two girls that were like, oh, the popular girls are so mean. It was like they were isolating themselves. Like they were telling themselves these girls were so mean because we're the nerds and we work so hard in school. And like, lo and behold, the cool kids were also going to the smart universities. They just weren't like, they weren't in your face. They didn't make nerd their personality. And I actually loved that ending just because like, I don't know, like was in smart person classes, but like hated the annoying smart kids a lot.
Sure.
Yeah, but...
Well, not to get political, but you know they say that that is kind of like the arc that we're witnessing with like the Elon Musks and the Mark Zuckerbergs. And I think there's a very famous line in the Facebook movie.
That would feel like such a good movie to watch right now.
It's a good movie.
I hate Mike.
It's a good movie. But it's, so I forget her name, what the actress's name is, but she's talking to him. She like comes up to him and she's basically like, I know that you think that like women aren't going to like you or talk to you because you're such a big nerd, but I'm here to tell you that it's because you're an asshole.
Yeah.
And those types of people, like they grow up and they are like that. You can clearly tell that they're still taking out this like revenge. I mean, specifically on women, but like on all people that they like perceive to have done them wrong, or if these people didn't do them wrong, they do mental gymnastics to put them in that fucking box.
Because a lot of times it's like the people didn't do anything wrong to them.
Yes.
It's just like a lot of times, like if you're playing, like, if the kids on the same sports teams are gonna get to get close to one another and hang out more.
Yeah.
Like,
or it's always like, my teacher in third grade told me I was never gonna amount to anything. And it's like, she probably told you need to do your homework or you're gonna fail. Like, I don't think it came out like that, but you grow up and these things like fester. Yes. I've got moments like that too, you know?
Yes. I'm someone who can hold a grudge. I've got weird little things.
Sure.
I know. To the main point of our discussion today, and I'll read the question and that'll lead to a larger discussion. We're talking about passport bros, and the subject line for this letter is being a passport bro always a bad thing? I guess, should we explain passport bro?
Yeah,
before
I would love you to, because I kind of forget.
I feel like you see this almost like a buzz TikTok, but I don't know that this was a term that people were floating around before TikTok. Maybe it was, but I feel like it kind of made its way as this buzzword of men. They always say like Western countries, which I'm always skeptical anytime someone says like the West, that it's not someone, because when I hear the West, I think like California. Like I'm always like, this is a Russian spy.
The Wild West.
This is a Russian psyop. Anytime someone calls things the West, I'm like, this is a psyop. But West, like men in the U.S. Who are frustrated with dating so much so that they, you know, find that they think they could be more successful abroad, particularly in Latin American or East Asian countries.
Or Eastern Europe, right?
Or Eastern Europe.
I
think
the
one you hear a lot is...
Abroid is so popular as it used
to be. So it kind of feels like it's a graduated version of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the popular countries that the passport bros or potential passport bros talk about a lot of times are the Philippines, countries in Latin America, Eastern Europe, etc. And they say their goal is, you know, go abroad, find a traditional wife because the women in these countries are more traditional and, you know, women in America are loud, obnoxious, all of that. That is a very tropey kind of version of it, and I have some like more nuanced thoughts on that, but I'll go ahead and read the letter, which is being a passport bro always a bad thing? I, male, 34, took a job that is fully remote with a generous work from anywhere policy, as they have offices around the globe. There's a few rules on it related to length of time and location, but as long as you're able to get your work done and still be a part of important calls or meetings, travel is fair game. Apparently, it is pretty normal to see employees living in some city abroad for a few weeks at a time, maybe 2 to 3 times a year. I love travel. I'm pretty excited about it. I would also be lying if I said I wasn't particularly excited due to being a single guy. It opens up your dating pool a lot. As I've researched in the cities most welcoming to single American males, plus considered time zones and value of the American dollar, going somewhere in Latin America seems like it'd probably be a good experience. However, as I've been researching, I've come across a lot of passport bro content, some of which is hard to separate from more generic travel or remote work stuff. A lot of the things the travel influencers mention, like more bang for your buck or being 5'10 is like being 6'4, are also brought up by passport bro influencers, but just in a way that's more negative and insults American women in the process. I have nothing against American women, but I am excited to try something different for a change. But I guess my question and semi-social commentary is, are all passport bros created equal, and is there a version of passport bro that could be a good thing? Because you could look at passport bros as guys leaving their country to experience another culture, a good thing, and finding international love in the process, also a good thing. Also, just like to hear nuanced discussions on topics like this in general, if you guys are up for it.
Yeah, it is fascinating. So my first question is, with a traditional passport bro, are they staying in this woman's country and integrating themselves into her life? Or are they finding a woman and taking her back to the United States where she will be isolated like a mail order bride?
I think it's a mixed bag because I don't think there is such a thing as a traditional passport bro because it's such a new term. I think there's like there's a version of passport bro where it's like some random dude who shows up in my TikTok comment section that has nothing to do with me, like it's just me being loud and it's like, guys, get your passports. Like, you got to get away from women like this, and the women are so much more quiet and submissive in these countries. Blah blah blah.
But I'm about to piss them the fuck off.
But I'm like, I don't think this person's saying get your. So this person clearly isn't doing any traveling. It's also like, if you're getting upset by a woman who is shouting on the internet about something else that you're never going to meet in person, that's enough to make you be like, that's it, I'm done. Then you don't need to get your passport. You need to go to a therapist. Like, life's going to smack you in the face at some point. But, like, there's a version of what this guy is saying. Like, is passport bro just any guy with a passport who's traveling and open to finding love along the way? Then there's no problem with that.
Of course not. Then girls are passport bros all the fucking time. Like, get off to Italy and find some gorgeous Italian man, please.
There's nothing wrong with that. And also, I think it's also interesting too, because there's a version of like this passport bro thing where it's like, it seems to be all talk. It's guys that are like, let's get your passport. They appear to just be at their house somewhere, like not abroad. But then when you see, there's a passport bro type creator on TikTok. It's like the digital bromad.
Okay.
And he calls himself a passport bro, but his story is I think he's from Colorado or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he like was in the military or came from a military family where he's clearly had some travel experience, but he basically, COVID hit and he was like, I'm remote and it's kind of sucks to be here. And like, what's going on in, I don't know if he went to, was it Costa? Like, he went to Colombia, maybe? Colombia or the Philippines. And
was dating his motivation? Was finding a woman his motivation?
I honestly think it was just, I can work from anywhere. And, like, I can have, for what I'm paying now for my one-bedroom apartment, I can have a beachfront condo and, you know, do all these things. And then he gets there and lo and behold, it's like, oh, whoa, the women like me a lot here.
See, that's different, I think.
It's like, I think he does have, like, a girlfriend. He's kind of had these, like, things where he's like, no, she went to like Columbia University, like, or she went to Cornell or something. Like, this idea that, you know, this passport bro is a type of person who's going and looking for women that are just, you know, like the women here are very smart, like all of that. And so it's like, you see that and you're like, this is a normal thing. Like, I feel like that's a healthy thing to do, is like travel abroad. You find love along the way with a smart woman. Like, I don't know.
Why but does also, he identify as a passport bro then?
That's
because
the thing,
that's not when I hear passport bro, that holds a very different connotation than what that is.
Exactly. And like, that's the thing too, is it's like, why don't the real passport bros who are doing what's seemingly a good thing okay with using the same label that these like kind of angry seemingly basement people are using?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think they're also kind of like, they're saying those
because the basement people wouldn't necessarily be looking for a woman who went to Cornell.
No,
let's be clear about that.
Yeah, like
I think a lot of when I hear Passport Bro, what it immediately evokes in my mind is a man who's like, you know, I've heard that women in, let's say, Thailand, mm-hmm. like, I've heard that they're very submissive and they just want a man and I can go out there and I can pretty much pick one from the crowd and bring her home. And now she doesn't speak the language. I can tell her exactly what to do, where she can and can't go. Not like she can lean on anyone else. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have my like submissive Asian fetish wife. I think honestly, that's like what a lot of that like Asian fetishy stuff is they're like, oh, Asian women are like more quiet and listen better. And like just racial stereotypes, essentially.
So, yeah. And I think a problem that both this sort of like wannabe passport bro with unreasonable expectations. And then I think it's a kind of a challenge that I think people that critique, and there's a lot to critique about this like movement of passport bros is like, having a different version of the term, like the term traditional gets brought up a lot as,
yeah.
you know, a thing like, oh, you know, the women are more traditional, blah, blah, blah. And I think there's the version of like what people in those countries mean by traditional is different mm-hmm. than like kind of how Americans maybe see the word like traditional when they think of like traditional marriage, all of that. Yeah. Like, I feel like people in the US, whether they think it's a good thing or a bad thing, they're like, they see this, you know, caricature of like a 50s style marriage with a housewife who's just like, you know, husband works, you know, very feminine wife who's just, you know, yes, husband, whatever. Mm-hmm. And yes, the women in some of the Latin American Asian countries are more traditional, but it's a different kind of traditional from what I can tell. Like, and I think that mostly comes from, and I hope I'm not being ignorant on this, like I'll speak to what I know is about the culture of these countries is like, there's, I'm like, where do I start with this? So in the US, if you bump into somebody over the age of 25, someone you went to high school with, and you know, you say like, oh, what's going on? They say, I'm living with my parents. What is the first thing that pops in your mind? Like about their situation? Like, what's the first thing you would correlate it with? Like they say, I'm living with my parents right now.
That they don't have any money? I don't know.
That they, yeah, like they don't have any money.
They something don't have a job. Happened. They're not independent. Something happened.
Something
okay, yeah.
happened. In a country in Latin America or, you know, in Asia, that's just multi-generational housing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay, yes, that's true.
Like in the U.S., like that's how many true. Movies are there about...
You live with your family. Yeah, yes. It's more family honoring.
Yeah, and yeah. like that's going to have like lasting effects. Like in the U.S., literally, how many movies are there about you go to like... Kid from the small town who wants to make something of himself, you know, go to the big university is like the ending of the movie. And it's like the character wins. He gets to go to the big fancy school and everyone from his hometown is small minded or they're like, you know, go cheer for us little guys in our small minded yeah, town. Yeah. And it's like, you know, how many memes are there about the guy who never left your hometown? And like, that's something that I think plays a, like if you grow up. And grandma is living under your roof or across the street from you because you have more walkable cities. Mm-hmm. You're going to, yes, those people are going to learn grandma's recipes and the crafts and the tricks of the trade from growing up. The traditions, mm-hmm. more so than, you know, the person in the U.S. whose grandparents live across the country. You know, maybe it's a less, you know, child-friendly country where there's less like paid time off, there's less like family leave, that sort of
okay,
thing.
Yes.
And so like of course people in those countries are going to be more they're going to feel more comfortable starting their family earlier because they feel confident that they have a village to help them raise their child.
Yes. Okay, so that makes sense.
They'll be more comfortable having more kids
like because, why yeah. traditional family values yeah. existed in the way they do. Would you say that that is also technically the motivation for a young woman to get out and marry an American man is because she has been in her family's home for so long and there's this like draw of like I'm going to get out of the small town and make something of myself. Is that what you're alluding to?
So I was more alluding to like, why are women in these countries more traditional? It's not that like they sit and bow down to the men and stuff, because the women in these countries are educated.
Okay.
Like if you look at the graduation rates, like specifically of like the people in the Philippines, women in the Philippines are crazy bright. And that's actually part of the reason that that's such a popular country for like passport bro types, is because they speak English. And a lot, in most of these countries, they speak English because they're taught English. Like they're not third world countries. Like that is a trap that people kind of fall into when you're criticizing passport bros, is like almost being like anti-woman and semi-racist in the process.
Well, yeah, it seems like what they are hunting is someone who's oblivious, someone who can't identify when they're being disrespected.
Yeah. And so that's the thing too, is like, when you think of like the actual women in these countries, like, yes, they're traditional, but it's like the guys that have never actually been in these countries that are like, get your passports, like they're going to be smacked upside the head very quickly when they realize that like being a dick is like not appreciated anywhere. Like they're not going to do too well in those countries if they have that same really negative attitude where they're entitled and they're just going to show up and be like, where's my wife? It's like, it doesn't work that way. That's not traditional. That's just being a dick. I don't know.
Can I do... sorry, huge pivot, and I don't want to like get too deep into this, but I also don't necessarily believe that this is going to happen, but you know, lots of things I didn't believe were going to happen are happening. So when it comes to like the robot girlfriend somewhere on the foreseeable horizon, do you think it kind of falls into this category of men wanting like the perfect woman who is essentially just like a simulation of something that they want? Like, or do you like, I honestly am like, they think that they want this. Respectfully, men, you don't know what you want, but like, it's like they think that they want this thing, but I think ultimately they would be like unhappy and not respect a woman who simply lives under their roof and does whatever they say with a smile on her face.
I mean, I think, yeah, like this, I think, yeah, people who think like that, who are like, I want this traditional wife, that do not have that, like, and just have heard concepts of what that could look like and seen movies.
Yeah.
Has not actually thought out how that would work in practicality.
Mm-hmm.
And also just like, people also just don't talk enough about how like the 1950s was like a very, very unique anomaly phenomenon that really only existed for a short period of time for a reason. Like this, you know, man goes to work, woman stays home. But also like, you know, the man's making, if he has a decent job, he's making enough money where
he's literally working at the freaking like clothes hanger yeah, factory, but like, and he's making enough to support
like
family.
But they also had like, they were wealthy enough to have nanny, like all of that. Like, you know, there's a very short window of time where that existed, you know, for kind of like, you know, there was a short window of time where Netflix existed in a way that was comfortable, and you know, now we have a bunch of different streaming services we have to pay for. Like,
okay, and also I'm if you're coming home, excuse me, I just spit, if you're coming home from work at the clothes hanger factory and you are so frustrated that you're gonna come home and hit your wife or your kids, are you happy? Like, why is that so romanticized that they're like, we could do anything we want? Were you happy?
I don't think any person who's wanting that is saying anything about, I want to be able to hit my wife. Like, I think they think that
they want control. It sounds like they want total blanket control over their spouse and their family and the home.
So I think there's the assumption that just a person like a wife who stays home with their kids is also gonna just put up with every, like, that's why I think whatever the people who say they want that, when they describe it, it's like, what you're describing is not a thing that exists. Like, you're dealing with a person who has their own thoughts and feelings. Like, do you really think women in the 1950s like were just like a-okay put up with that? Like, they're, I don't, like, it's very, this thing that they want, like, it's almost, it never existed. It doesn't exist. Like, there's give and take for everything. Like, if you want a thing that you can program to do whatever you want, yes, go find a robot.
You can make a woman scared of you. You could make your wife scared of you. But, like, even in the 50s, if you mistreat her, she's going to cheat on you. Like, I don't even know.
The
rules weren't different for women. Like, you know, women still had fucking, they were still able to do that. They were still able to hate you. Like,
yeah,
you think that they were getting smacked and saying thank you?
I mean, I don't know if I was thinking in that direction. Yeah. But, like, I think I'm just thinking more of, like, the people that have kind of idealized or, you know, have this, their expectations for what this passport, what this concept of passport bro is, that are, you know, miserable in their house.
Yeah.
They have a different idea of, like, how it would go in practice. Like, it doesn't mean, like, the women are more traditional in these countries. Doesn't mean you show up and there's going to be a bunch of hot 18-year-olds on a beach who are like, I will have 10 of your babies whisk me off to America. And they don't know the language, and they just are just so happy to get away from their country. And it's funny because, like,
and why do you want someone who doesn't know your language? Well, that's so.
The thing is, people in those countries do know the language, but it feels like the people that are critical of like the passport bro movement are looking at that, and then the people who are like, I want to be a passport bro, they quickly jump to like almost doing so in a way that is like ignorant or anti-woman, or like could even be like where it's like, oh, you're fetishizing the woman, or like. You want the, they aren't educated, but, and it's like the women in the countries are like educated and stuff like that. But it also seems like the people that are like, I want to be a passport bro, think of it the same way. I don't know. Like, where was I going? It's a hard thing to talk about. I don't know.
Okay. So I guess there's lots of different kinds of passport bro, right?
Yeah. If we're going to paint it with a broad.
Broad strokes, yes, but like okay, so here's one kind of example. I remember seeing a video, this is kind of buried in my memory, but I remember seeing a video from like a passport bro, and I can't remember what country he was in, but it looked like maybe like Brazil or something.
Yeah, Latin America is somewhere.
Latin America, beautiful women, like gorgeous, stunning women. Who, you know, like, I don't know if he was in a big city or if he was in a smaller place, but just like absolutely stunning women walking down the street. And for whatever reason, they're like approachable because like that's just part of their culture. I think in the United States, walking up to a woman on the street, bro, I take that as a threat, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, if I see a man walking toward, no, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. For some reason, whatever it has to do with the culture, women are like, just more approachable in that way.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, you know, like if they're not seeing American men on a regular basis, if usually or always it's like men from their own country and they treat them a certain way. And now you have a culturally different man approaching you and basically presenting like this sort of mysterious opportunity. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I would probably be more inclined to follow up with him and talk to him and see what he has to offer. Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, there's something to be said about that, too, where it's like people are, you know, more open, like countries where it's just more, people are more excited to just talk to strangers. Like, I think something that's also very cool about a lot of the countries popular among passport bros is they are walkable cities where people are social. Like, oh, that was another thing that the digital bromad does that I like, is he like leads a beers and peers workshop of like learn Spanish. And it's like, if you're, that's your version of passport bros, like, fuck yeah, like go learn the language, like ingrain yourself in the culture. Like, you're not going there and looking to just pick up a wife,
a commodity. Yes.
And I think there's also a lot of responsibility in dating internationally that, you know, especially if this is, you know, it's something that you continue with long term, or, you know, you get married. But
right,
we'll go back to that. But maybe
what is it about our culture that makes women less approachable?
I think, well, I mean,
is it just like, I mean, for me, I'm like, I don't trust any man coming up to me. And that is,
what are the what are the crime rates in some of these countries? I mean, like Latin America, I'm not sure, but like, I mean, the Philippines, like, I don't think the crime rate is particularly high. Like, I think maybe there's just a bigger sense of safety in, you know, a stranger. Like, it's not as scary to talk to a stranger. I don't know.
Yeah. I know in Japan, it's like, people say it's like so safe. Like, they're like, women will just like pass out drunk on the side of the road.
Yeah.
And nobody touches them and nobody bothers them.
Exactly. Like,
it's just different.
So, like, that could be a factor, like that sort of thing.
But then that reads for some reason. Different.
Like, I think, in general, like, I think if you go anywhere, like, yes, like, you know, I think women will be more traditional because grandma's grown up and taught them all the recipes and stuff like that. But like, there's still just naturally people wanting to go abroad. Like, the U.S. passport is a very powerful thing. Like, if you go abroad and you kind of find a person you know, from Latin America, who's like, oh yeah, like I've got all these big dreams and oh my God, you're from America. Cause like, I feel like something we also hear about too with people that like have dated internationally is like people who fall in love with the country first and then a person.
Yeah.
I think that you could say that for about our grandparents.
Right. I think, okay, so there's another big discrepancy here that I just came into mind is like American women, the way that these, let's say, passport bros are perceiving American women is stuck up, is like stuck up and too good because they have like certain standards, and those standards are ever raising as feminism progresses. Those standards are getting higher, and I understand that, but I think a lot of this is like you have tried and failed so much in the United States to find a girl because you're ugly. Like, to be quite freaking honest, like, I think a lot of these men are like, oh, I'm like ugly, or I'm, you know, whatever. Like, I do not meet the standard at all. Women in other country are less stuck up. They have lower standards for me as an American man. And I think that, like, a lot of times is the draw. Like, yeah. You don't, so, to be frank, like, successful, like, passport bros, They're not stunning, gorgeous American men. Gorgeous American men have no problem. It's people that are like really struggling because American women don't want them.
I do think that maybe is more of the people that are idealistic, because when I see the ones that are on that use the term passport bro, and I'm really just like, you're a guy who travels and you've met a lot of women along the way. Like, they're charismatic people who would have no problem dating in America. I really think it like. Just a statement that applies anywhere, whether you're moving to a new city is or traveling abroad hoping to fall in love, is just wherever you go, there you are, which is sometimes the problem isn't like it's not the people around you, it's you. Uh-huh. Like, it's being a piece of shit entitled person who's like, you know, where is my wife? The guys in the movie that took place in the 1950s had a wife that just doted on them and all he had to do was show up. Like, why don't I have that?
All he had to do was show up. Girl, like, you better have money if you're going to go be a passport bro.
All I had to do is show up at the coat hanger factory, and I would have had a wife back then. Where's my wife now?
And it's like a woman excited for you to come home, bouncing a baby on her hip and cooked you dinner and but like it's looks like, good.
That's the traditional of that is in other countries popular among passport bros. Like, it's not caricature of 1950s that wasn't history, that isn't even historically accurate. It's you grew up close to your family, like you felt comfortable, you feel comfortable having five kids like instead of two, because you're like, I'm confident I have my village to help me raise a child, versus can I afford this, when is the other shoe gonna drop? Because in the US we've had a whole bunch of crazy shit happen and you never know what's gonna happen next, and like, oh my God, can I have kids? I want to have kids, but like, can I have kids at all? Because I don't know if I'm going to be able to give them a good life.
Right.
And whereas, you know, maybe in, I don't know, Colombia or somewhere, it's like, I feel good about it. I've got my mom, my grandmother, yeah. My sister, all of that. Like, I don't feel like I have to get all of these things done, all these ducks in a row before I have my kids.
I don't feel like I need to make $200,000 a year. Yeah,
like,
because
I feel like when I think of my friends who are having kids, like, I feel like every single one of them wants to be in a place where, like, hypothetically speaking, they never get promoted ever again. They make the same salary for the rest of their life. Could they have a kid right now?
Yeah.
And like, I mean, and it holds people back, or it makes people say, like, you know, I'm going to be one and done. You know, maybe they want to have a big family, but it's like, you know, totally. I can't do more than two. Like, you know, if you're a guy, like, and you want to have a big family and stuff, and you're like, oh my God, everyone here only wants to have, you know, max three kids. Like, you know, maybe in Latin America, there's people that want to have more, but they feel like they can. Like, I would also say too, is like some of these, you know, things that make women, they're like more traditional and stuff, like maybe it is like more unique to their country. Like, if they came with you to the US, like, could they be the same traditional woman there, like here, that they were there?
And can you afford six kids? Because if you go pick up a woman from goddamn Ukraine or whatever and bring her back here, and now all of a sudden you're expecting her to have six kids, but your salary cannot support that, then what the hell are you doing? I mean, that's the expectation. If you want to go grab a wife from another country, you better have the freaking pockets.
So, yeah. So I think, passport bro and like glorified mail order bride, basically,
yeah,
are two different things. Because I think when I see the ones that are on that are actually doing it, like they appear to be living in the countries, they appear to be ingraining themselves in the culture. I think it would be very, you're setting yourself up for a far more transactional situation if the goal is like bring woman with caricature of traditional here,
mm-hmm,
like that, then you're up for something different, like something, yeah, different. Like, I also think too, if you're like, I want to be a passport bro, and your expectation is women waiting on the beach to be whisked back to America, you're also setting yourself up to like get scammed, like people that are, you know, too good to be true, like whatever, like, because most people wouldn't respond well to people who like behave like that. Like, you're like, it's a different version of like, you know, woman down, like, oh, like these women in your area are just waiting for you to call them ads. Like, you are setting yourself up to like be scammed for that kind, yeah, of thing. But I think, you know, if you're like, you want this traditional life and you want someone who just wants an American passport and to whisk back here.
Yeah. We have like a prototype of passport bro.
Yeah.
In our family.
Well, because, yeah. And so that's what I'll, yeah, say too, is like, we could call ourselves the product of a version of passport bro, but also, yes, like if that is what a passport bro is, so are a lot of people. Our grandfather was in the military, yeah, mm-hmm, met our grandmother abroad when she was volunteering at an officers club. But I would also say, like,
she wasn't
a waitress, she was a school teacher.
I thought she was she brought him coffee or something. Oh my God.
She did when she was doing volunteer work at an officers club, because she loved America, because she, yes, went, she was a foreign exchange student in, yeah, her high school years who came to the U.S. So she was, I think, very excited to just meet Americans, like speak in English, like just talk about her experience in the U.S., like kind of do like a German to America friendship type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was excited about that. And I think our grandfather had been to Germany before. He'd been abroad before. And so he was very, I think was always like, I like to, you know, experience new cultures. I would be very interested in dating someone from another country. And so it was kind of that. And they met, and she came back to the U.S. She became a naturalized U.S. citizen after having a green card by marriage. It took a while before she became a U.S. citizen. But I think there's a lot of responsibility, I think, that comes, yeah, with an international marriage.
I'm not a granddaddy Julian apologist. I'm not.
But so I'm speaking very objectively.
Sure.
Can we keep that kind of thing out of this?
Okay, fine. An important facet of this,
mm-hmm,
whole thing is a very quick marriage. Is it not?
No, it wasn't actually. They were the same age. I think most people got married quickly
with, like, passport bros, though, right? Is it not like they want to find someone and lock them down and marry them pretty quickly? Isn't that like part of it? Like, you're not really doing real dating. So
I think there is the tropey version, I think, is like that. I think the one that I see actually happening in practice is people that are going to other countries and just dating around and enjoying themselves and saying, I'm more popular with the women here. My dollar stretches a bit further. Look how much I was able to do with $20 US. Look what it brought me here.
Okay.
And I think the sentiment of like being 5'10" is like being 6'4" in Latin America. Like it rings true. Like I think when you think of the people that are like, I want to be a passport bro, get your passports, boys. Like, leave the people of America are annoying. Like, I think they're just like, I want my wife now. But yeah, no, like, speaking of our family, like, I think more so, like, and some people, this isn't like to say don't do it or that this is a bad thing, but I think having like an international relationship or international marriage comes with responsibility. Like you will have the discussion of like, do our kids learn your language that you grew up speaking?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have, if you married another American, you probably wouldn't have that be an issue in your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think you kind of have to be prepared to go back and on an annual basis and visit family. If you know your new spouse that's coming to the U.S., like if their family is interested in being U.S. citizens, are you willing to sponsor them. Like train migration is a thing. You know, are you like the traditions that were so valuable in their country that they made it a point to pass down that we don't really see as much in the US, like, are you willing to like be supportive in making sure that happens?
Invest in those traditions.
Like growing up, and apparently, this was a very sticking point growing up, like mom has kind of alluded to it and shuts it down quickly, is that our grandparents were not happy that we weren't taught German growing up, and that's why Theo had to take
German. I didn't
know
that.
They were not happy about that.
I didn't know that. I wasn't happy about that. I wanted to learn German.
Yeah, but like, I don't know if it was just one of those where it's like teaching kids English is hard enough, like a bunch of squirrely kids. But for example, growing up, we would do a kind of before it was December 5th or 6th, but like we would do something that was like a German tradition called Saint Nicholas, and we would put a shoe outside your bedroom door, and like Saint Nicholas would bring you a few treats or something like that. And it was something like the kids would do in Germany. Like it was supposed to be like a gold coins or whatever. No one else did it. We would tell friends about it in school. They're like, oh, so Santa? We'd be like, no, it's St. Nicholas night. And we would be so excited about it. But it's like, that was a tradition that came from having a German grandparent. It was something that they passed down. Like, are you if you're kind of, you know, marrying someone from another culture, you're coming back to the US, like no matter how excited they are about being in America.
Yes.
How, like,
are you only taking the things that appease you?
Yeah, like you have to, there's some give and take there, I would say.
Yeah.
Like you, it brings some new issues, topics, all of that, that maybe, and some, for some people that's a really, that's a good thing, that's exciting. It's like, I want to have someone from another culture in my family.
But I mean, I think that would go for really any marriage too, right? True. Like having in-depth conversations about the concessions that you're willing to make, the way that you, like the values, the way you plan to raise your kids, like all of that stuff matters so much. And I mean, I'm not married, but I'm very skeptical that a ton of people who are like getting married or having babies with baby daddies are having these conversations.
Oh yeah. People don't,
people don't have that conversation, right? Like,
no.
Very often, a lot of people who are just like, fuck it, I'm gonna have a baby. Like, they're not understanding fully. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, people, like, always ask people who say they don't want to have kids, like, why don't you want to have kids? No one really ever asks people who want to have kids, like, why do you want to have kids? A lot of people don't even think that, like, and I think that's, and I say this as a person who wants to have kids, like, I think you should always ask yourself that question. Like, why do I want to have kids? Like, why do I have this preference that I have? Like, ask yourself those questions. But yeah. Like,
and what would I do if my child was born disabled?
Well, I mean, there's
plenty of probability. I worked with kids, a lot of kids with disabilities or, you know, whatever. What would I do if my kid was transgender? What would I do if my kid just had behavioral issues and was an asshole? Like, all kinds of things that people don't consider. They're just like, I'm gonna have baby with my baby daddy.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's hating on women. Men do it too, whatever. But like,
you
know, I think that those very important conversations, like, people don't have that because all they think about is themselves in that moment.
Yes.
I want wife and kids.
Yeah.
And do you know that's a person? Like,
yeah. Like, I think I would almost say, like, the people that maybe have these very, like, caricature versions of a passport, bro, like, get your passports, boys. And they're saying this from their house in the basement in the U.S., like, that they have no idea. They've never been, they have no concept of what life in another country is like. They think they can just, you know, whisk up. Like, I honestly think the best thing for them is probably to, like, let them be as support, like, as cheerleader as possible so that they can go experience that dream and be hit in the face with reality that being a dick is universally seen as a bad thing. Like, I think women in any country aren't going to put up with their shit if they're rude. But I think also, like, the guy who wrote in, if you are somebody who has an opportunity to travel abroad, you have the means to do so, fucking take it.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, and, like, you don't, not like, oh, American women bad, but, like, why not try something different? Like, there's plenty of people who fall in love with a country. Like, I know friends who, like, they're, like, they go to England, they're like, I gotta marry a British guy. I love England. Like, that's a thing. And, like, you know, certain countries, it's like if there's a tradition or something you fall in love with, and you see that all the, like, people I know that they're the world traveler types, they marry internationally, and it's a beautiful thing. It is, like, it's beautiful. And, like, I think what this guy is doing is fantastic, as long as you're not, like, your expectations aren't for caricatures and robots and
Yeah.
You're having fun. You're being positive. I love that. If that is what a passport bro is, fuck yeah.
But I don't think it is. So but, be very careful when you say that, because I really don't think.
I think, yeah, like if I think it should. Yeah, the version of it that is.
I think a world traveler is very different from what a passport bro would identify himself as.
Yeah, like I
really I think don't.
There's a version that I am not happy.
I wouldn't say passport bros. Fuck yeah! Like
I would say if you are, yeah, world I traveler really, who just so happens, like, yeah, I've got my passport and I'm a bro. Yeah, I think that's not bad. I think if you're like, fuck that, blah, 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 I'm mad. And the way I'm just going to show up on a beach and just grab myself a wife, you're going to...
Or it's just more like, I have an idea of how a woman should be.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find a more idealized version of that in a country where they don't have the same understanding and the same standards that American women have. I want somebody who is... who's ignorant to
but the thing is their perspective, their thought that the women in these countries are like that is ignorant, because they're not like
it is yes
yeah like that's another thing I want to, like, because that's one of my like pet peeves about when people are like, you know, the oh, like passport bro things is like saying not kind things about women who are from Latin America, like where it's just kind of like, oh, like
that doesn't mean, though, that they can't convince somebody from that country to marry them and come back with them. It happens all the time. There are plenty of men who, like, will do that and successfully find someone. 30, or what is it, 90 Day Fiancé? Don't they kind of do that shit?
Well, like, see, so those, like, when I see those situations, though, I'm like, these are kind of those susceptible to scam types, like, because a lot of times, too, you're like, is just odd. Like, they met on a message board. Like, it feels very, like... you know, women in your area, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, someone who maybe it doesn't feel like, you know, going to a country and meeting someone organically. It feels very like transactional, which strange.
I think
and, like,
is what a passport bro, like, I think that is the identity of that.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. Like, I would caution against that.
Yeah. And I'm still a little skeptical of just world traveler. I just happened to find my wife in another country and she doesn't really speak English and blah, blah, blah. Well,
I mean, if you're going to a country that doesn't speak English, but that's the thing, too, is like a lot of other countries, they know English. Like the U.S. is really the only country where we're like, yeah, whatever. You have to take 2 years of Spanish really learn it. And like, you know, hola, adios.
Yeah.
There's your like other countries, they know a lot. I don't know. Maybe I'm just feeling very, like, I want to go experience something else for a little bit. But
yeah, I get that.
Also, I love, like, I feel like I've connected with so many people, like, on TikTok who are from Latin America, the Philippines, like, women, where I'm like, I feel like I'm like, these, I got to go to bat for them and say they're fucking excellent.
Yeah.
And don't try to pull a fast one on them if you're a dude.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Good fucking luck.
Yes. Anyway, oh my goodness. We are over time. And this was a fun one.
We'll continue to talk about this one, but. Bye!